Good evening. Welcome to the Transportation and Infrastructure Services Committee meeting for Tocolo City Council. Today is March 21st. It's a 5:30 p.m. meeting. We have no presentations. We're moving straight to the business agenda. It's the South 52nd Street Safe Routes to School project. It's a consultant selection and agreement. And Finn Lee, are you going to take this?
Yes.
Thank you. Take it away.
Always that delay factor on this, isn't there? So good evening, Cindy Knighton here. I'm here to present to you the consultant selection and consultant agreement with KPG. And you'll note on here that it's KPG Somis now. They recently merged in with another company. And so they're technically KPG Somis, but they're continue to operate under the KPG name. So as the committee may remember, we acquired and were awarded a grant through Sound Transit through their system access funds in the amount of $369,000 for the design of our project known as South 152nd Safe Routes to School project. So, and yes, it has Safe Routes to School, but it is also a major connection point for users of the Tukwila Light Rail Station, the link station that's there. And so this was something that Sound Transit was very interested in helping us out with providing some safer pedestrian access and because of its proximity to the link station. So we went through, we issued a request for proposals last fall, interviewed and selected KPG as the most qualified. And we took our time developing this consultant agreement, mostly to balance out workloads for everybody. So we are recommending that we that the City Council approve this contract with KPG in the amount of $453,254. There is an error underneath the recommendation. Somehow that number got changed back to a different number, but the contract amount is for that $453,254. And we'd like this to be considered at the consent agenda on April 4th.
All right.
Open up for questions.
Councilmember Hobby, questions or comments?
Yeah, my quick question is, so you guys stated here that the cost of, estimate for design is $453,000. Mm-hmm. But you guys are asking for the 448, so there's a difference there when you do the subtraction. Why did you guys specifically ask for 448 rather than asking for the 453?
That is an oversight underneath the recommendation, and so we are recommending that this amount for this 453,254 be moved forward. There was working on this, and that number got changed back to this number, but the actual contract amount that we are recommending moving forward with is that $453,254. And it's a correction underneath that recommendation section.
And yeah, thank you for clarifying that. I think this is important work that you guys are doing, and I appreciate you, come to the table and asking us about, what it is that you guys need, and I support this. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Councilmember Sharp.
So this is primarily just for design work, is that right?
Yes, so it is design work. So we have that $369,000 that we have from Sound Transit for the system access funds, and that's primarily for the design of the sidewalks, and we'll probably put in some on-street parking, or we may do some bike lanes. We'll work through that process as we go through. And then we have up to that $100,000 which we'll be using for the storm drainage, because there is storm drainage that's out there that's needing to be upgraded. And so it is design only at this phase, and we will move to construction. Oh, that's funny that your thing is picking up the TV as me talking.
Yeah.
yes, it is design only at this point. We do hope to move forward with some grant application. We haven't made any decisions yet, but there is a call for The Safe Routes to School grant applications. It's going to be coming out starting next month. And the storm drainage work is funded through enterprise funds. So construction monies will be coming for enterprise funds, and we'll try to pursue funding for the construction through other grant sources.
And so this design is from Pacific or TIB all the way to 42nd Avenue South. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
And the sidewalk is the idea of having sidewalks on both sides of the street or just on one side?
No, we want to put them on both sides of the street. We already have some sidewalks that have been built by the Confluence, I guess is the name it now. And we do intend on putting sidewalks on both sides of the street.
I see. And then as far as a bike lane or design of the actual street, how do you come up with how you want the street to look as far as street lights, parking spots? How do you pick where you want to put parking spots? Is there some sort of guide, or is there somebody at the city that picks and chooses where parking spots go?
We will, first off, we're going to need to talk to the residents to see. Originally, this has always been intended to have on-street parking, but we could, if there isn't any strong interest for on-street parking, perhaps pursue some bike lanes. So how we put them in is really going to depend on where we can put them in. We don't want to have parking spaces that are too close to driveways. And so there are some engineering standards on where we would put them in. And it would be parallel parking. So we put them in as we can, but only if the neighborhood wants it. If they would rather have bike lanes or nothing at all, we'll certainly work with them on that.
So, for example, if I live on South 152nd Street, and I don't want a parking spot in front of my house, does the city consider that and not put one in, or do they decide based on another metrics that they need a parking space there based on city need?
We would definitely on a residential street consider what the residents want. Are we going to not give something and give something on a house-by-house basis? Hopefully we don't get to that, but if somebody is adamantly insistent that they do not want a parking space in front of their house, I'm sure we can work something out where they don't have one.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's all I have.
You're welcome.
Okay, I don't have any further questions. This is just to forward to the next regular consent agenda on April 4th. Do I have head nods for that to happen?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thanks very much, Cindy. We're moving on to the Fleet Facilities Public Workshop Equipment. Yes. Lee Gray, are you going to take that up?
I think Garen is going
to. No, is that Garen?
Yeah.
Hi, everybody.
I'm just reading from a script here. So, Garen, that's great with me.
Hi, how are you? Good evening, everyone, council members. So I'm Garen Hurt, Fleet Superintendent for the City of Sequoia, and I will be speaking on behalf of Cody tonight. So this evening, I'm here to talk about...
Just one second, council members.
Sure.
Garen, if you can, one of the things we would like to do...
Sorry. I thought I hit the button. I'm so sorry.
You can put your video on. That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought I hit it. My apologies.
Well, okay. Awesome.
Oh, thank you. Anyway, I'm speaking tonight on behalf of regards of the purchase of the new lift hoist and the relocation of an existing lift that we have in our shop right now. First off, I'd like to personally thank all council members and anyone that's been assisted in making this building possible. It is something that we are definitely looking forward to. Over the last couple decades, Fleet has expanded its fleet. And we've outgrown our existing facility quite a bit. So this building will definitely give us the opportunity to provide our services throughout the city. So again, we thank you. What we are requesting on this is the purchase of two new lifts and the relocation of one current lift, as well as a hoist crane that we have. So we are looking to expand our services in our new building, because this shop is literally three times the size of our existing shop. For those of you that have been down there, you can definitely see the need for the added room with our larger equipment that we've gotten over the years, the ladder equipment, vectors, a lot of the larger stuff. And what we are asking for at this point is the amount of $64,698 to purchase two brand new lifts that will actually accommodate the equipment that we have upgraded to over the years, we originally started out having two lifts moved, and one of them is an older, obsolete design that has fallen under mechanical failure. So what we have put into the design now is a 16,000-pound hoist as well as a 20,000-pound hoist, which these two will do twice the work as the existing hoist combined at this point, basically making us way more efficient in our operations.
So allow me to add a few more details to that, committee.
Sure. Is Eric able to hear Hardy from, you're not up at the desk, so is everybody able to hear Hardy?
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So what to add to Garen's request, so the way these two lifts that we're purchasing, we would like you to authorize purchase of these lifts from the 501 fleet budget, and we have money in the budget. We will just make the necessary changes, amendments to the budget during the budget amendment process. Thank you.
Okay. With that, Councilmembers, I'm going to go in reverse order. Councilmember Sharp, any questions or comments?
Yes, I noticed that they do two different capacities, but the price difference is, I don't know, $1,000. Why not get two 20,000-pound capacity as opposed to a 16 and a 20? I can't hear you.
You're muted.
Sorry about that. So the way that the arms expand on the 20,000-pound lift, they are different from a 16,000-pound lift. The 20,000-pound is capable of a wider range of picking up vehicles from certain areas on the pickup points, but they are too expanded to pick up your smaller size vehicle. So what that would do is it would actually limit that lift to basically your larger truck and much bigger, but it won't be able to pick up the cars, which is a cars and light trucks are a huge part of our fleet. It's probably closer to 80% of our fleet. The 20,000-pound lift is a much safer alternative by having that extra structure to pretty much lift everything that has two axles. So we couldn't just have two 20s and two 16s. By having one of each, it ensures that we have the availability to lift everything in the fleet.
Okay. So is there anything that your shop with these lifts can't lift that the city of Tukwila owns?
No. At this point, we also have what's called mobile lifts, and these are roll-around lifts that will pick up vehicles by the wheels. And this actually picks up ladder trucks. It picks up your Vactors, all your very large stuff. The problem with the tire-mounted lifts is you can't pull the wheels for inspection. You have to use a different type of hoisting method. So these two lifts make it to where they're picked up by the frame opposed to the wheels, and that makes it to where inspection for all the safety checkoffs for brakes and tires and all that stuff is more easily accessible.
Right on. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Councilmember Aldi?
Yeah, thank you for your presentation. I'm still learning about fleets and things like that. But honestly, for what you're asking, it sounds pretty reasonable to me, so I don't really have any questions. So thank you.
Okay. As for me, this all makes sense to me. I just have one question. You have this fleet replacement budget, and then you have this extra request for equipment change, which makes sense to the building. Is this the appropriate use of the fleet replacement budget if they have not asked for other cranes on this budget? What was the intent of it?
So the way the fleet replacement budget works is they every department, the fleet they're using, they look and think in the future and say when they need to replace. At the same time, the fleet maintenance folks, we'll look out and say what tools they require to maintain those fleet. So it's all part and parcel of it. That's why there's money in it. You may not have the exact tool name and number, but it's all included.
Okay, and so just all I'm going to translate this into IT. We replace laptops every 5 years where I work, so that's in our plan, et cetera. Were crane replacements in the plan ahead of time, or did we just go, oh, since we're moving into the new building, we need unique equipment, so we'll throw it onto this budget and something else will be sacrificed?
Garen has a better understanding. I think the two lifts are definitely because of the expansion, but the crane, Garen, do you have an answer?
So there were certain needs that the crane provides in our shop that I don't think was taken into consideration at the beginning of how crucial this tool is to us. And while we are at the point of designing the shop for these new lifts and the relocation, it was at this time that it was a now or never to also go with the crane as well, because if we didn't do it now, we would have lost that piece of equipment and it would have disabled us in certain areas around the shop. And it's not that it was a last minute thought. It was something that I don't know if was emphasized as much in the beginning. And now that we have contractors and engineers looking at the ground for our concrete placement, it was something that we needed to include to continue what we can do.
Okay, and so that all makes sense to me. So the question is, you had different plans for this money because you weren't thinking about it and anticipating it. So what are we doing without? What's the sacrifice?
Right. So, again, the money is not coming from the fleet and facilities project budget. It's coming from the 501 budget.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we look at the 501 tools and the replacement schedule, there are a lot of items in it, including mowers and a lot of equipment. So it's usually the items that are in the coming years are pushed out. So I don't have a clear detail of what is going to be risked because of this. It's not large enough item, dollar amount, but Karen, you have an idea. Are we pushing anything from 23 specifically? I did not get that impression from Tanya, but she's not in this meeting.
As far as money that we are not using this year, is that what you mean?
No, because of this money, are we immediately pushing out any other purchases?
The only purchase that I was aware that we may be holding off on is an additional 2 mobile lifts due to the cost. And like I said, I haven't spoke with Tanya directly on the plan of that, but I know that that was not something we were going to configure.
Okay. It just sounds, it's good that we have an accountability of what we might not have as we push with this priority, that's all. And what we're at on here is we're going to forward this to the regular new business part of the meeting tonight, right? Tonight.
Yeah, we would the staff would like to purchase it as soon as possible because we want to line this up with the move.
Mm-hmm.
So we would like to consider this item tonight.
That's understandable. So that question might come up during that section, I'm just saying.
All right.
Because they might be going, well, they're not getting, right? And I think it's a reasonable question. Other than that, council members, are we of a consensus to move this forward to the regular meeting in the business?
Yes.
Yes.
Section of the meeting? Okay, I feel the same way. That's unanimous. Moving on to item 2C.
So, Garen, I'll see you at 7 or hang on to the council meeting.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Garen. Good job.
Thanks.
The Neighborhood Traffic Calming Program, Allentown Neighborhood Transportation Study, and Cindy is back on.
I am
back. Well, you're kind of breaking up a little bit.
So, thank you. Sometimes I have to turn my camera off. If it gets really bad, please let me know. Anyway. Before I get into this, I wanted to take a moment to introduce our new staff member, Deontay Elder, who has been working with me on this. And introduction. Deontay joined us about 6 weeks ago 6 or 7 weeks ago now, and he is taking over from Scott Bates' position. And he will be working on traffic calming as well as the ADA program and the overlay, and we'll eventually get him into a lot more. And he's got the bill. He's going to do a great job with this. So, anyway, so on to this traffic calming program. As the committee will probably recall, last fall we brought some information forward to the council and said, if you're considering ARPA funding, we would like to propose neighborhood traffic calming, and you were gracious enough to grant us $100,000 in last year's, in the 2021 budget, and then $400,000 for restoring the budget that had been eliminated due to restrictions. And last year, because we only had a couple of months to extend that $100,000, we went on a big old spending spree, and we bought a bunch of materials that we use. We bought two new rectangular rapid flashing beacons. This is the little beacons that we put out for pedestrian crossings. So we've purchased some. We've purchased additional signage. We basically replenished our stores of things that we use in this traffic calming program. So now moving on into $1,000, and in your packet, we have on, oh goodness, I need glasses to read these pages. Pages 44 and 45, we have staff top 10 recommended traffic calming projects. And so I wanted to kind of go through kind of what we've accomplished to date, and then we can kind of move into a little bit more on the Allentown neighborhood speed and safety study that was beginning. So we did have these top 10 recommendations, recommended projects, and we definitely looked at them with a geographic equity lens. And on page 46, you'll see a map that shows all of the locations where traffic calming in our top 10 list were placed throughout the city. So we have started work on several of these top 10 lists. The Allentown study we'll get to, obviously. We, and that was Project A. Project E, which is the Tuckwilly Community Center pedestrian crossing safety improvements, and that is those two RRFBs that I mentioned previously are about 50% through the design, and we will be putting that out for installation later this year. Sometime this summer is most likely. We also have started on Project J, which is the South 144th Street and 46th Avenue ADA ramp. 2019, we had installed an RRFB crossing at that location, but we didn't install the requisite ramps, ADA ramps, that are normally required by law, because we had just put in an application for a grant, which we were hoping would be able to pay for those upgrades as well as other improvements on 46th Avenue. It was unsuccessful, and so it's been a real high priority of staff to get those ADA ramps installed associated with that RRFB. And that project is also at about the 50% design for those ramps, and it will be constructed as part of our 2022 annual overlay project. It's already included in those plans. So several other projects on this ADA or the staff top 10 recommended list. And our intention is, we've had obviously some staff transition with Scott retiring and Deontay coming on board, so he's gearing up. But we will be starting to look at what we call the level one improvements, the signage and other low or easier, low-hanging fruit, if you will, improvements such as radar feedback signs on many of these locations. Of note that I did include in the info memo is that the city will be receiving a new grant, and we're just waiting on the final dollar amount and the official award. The Transportation Improvement Board, a new program for us, we've never had a reward or an award through, and that is their Complete Streets Award. And we've got a lot of flexibility. So we've gotten approval through TIB to utilize those funds for ADA improvements and safety improvements. So that will be coming forward to you in the very near future. And so some of the level two, particularly around the schools, we will probably be recommending that we utilize some of that money that we will be getting. And it will be between $300,000 and $500,000. We're just waiting on the final amount. And I think that the TIB board might be meeting the end. So it's a matter of just a couple of weeks before we'll have a good idea. Specific to the Allentown Neighborhood Study, we have KPG under contract to provide on-call services for traffic calming when it comes to doing some engineering and analysis. So we brought them on and said, look, can please take a look, do a traffic study. Let's take a look at, you know, we've got a bunch of data, take a look at what this data is showing, where we can make some improvements. And I have asked for Michael Latham, who is the primary author of that study, to come on board and kind of talk through some of the highlights of our study. So I will turn this over to Michael, and Michael has been with KPG for quite some time and is in this particular field known as traffic calming. So, Michael?
Yeah, thank you, Cindy. Got a short presentation here tonight that will summarize the findings from the March 14th, 2022 transportation analysis for the Allentown neighborhood.
And just to say up front, we're going to get a copy of this later? The whole
yes.
Council?
Absolutely. Thanks. We can provide this to you. It literally was given to me about an hour ago. So we'll get a copy to you. Probably also in the field, because if we don't reuse this, we'll get you this in addition to anything we use at COW.
Okay.
And just to clarify, everything you'll see here tonight is in the technical memo as well.
All right.
Yeah, let's jump right in. This map here shows the Allentown neighborhood. It's got three primary access points. Up in the northwest corner, there's South 115th Street. In the lower southwest corner, we have the 42nd Avenue Bridge over the Duwamish River. And then over on the southeast corner, we have 50th Place. The map here highlights the collector arterials that serve the area. We've got 115th, 42nd, 124th going through the neighborhood. These streets are intended to carry the majority of the traffic. They have improvements as such with sidewalks, traffic control at intersections. For example, we have always stops at a couple places in the corridor. Also, the map here shows in blue lines where the data was collected, both for the vehicle volumes and the vehicle speeds. The vehicle speeds out there are fairly reflective of what we see on a lot of these type of corridors throughout the region. I'm going to jump right in. This presentation is going to focus on the improvement projects that were recommended by this memo. I just want to really clarify that this is the early phase of this project. All these improvements, with the exception of these two RFBs here we'll talk about, are very early stages. They need to be refined more with more design. They need to be coordinated with the community and stakeholders in the area, as well as to receive funding. We'll start up in the northeast corners, kind of work our way south. Along 115th Street, we're recommending lowering the speed limit there from 35 miles an hour to 25 miles an hour. The rest of the collector arterials in the corridor already have 25 miles per hour. So this would both provide consistency in the neighborhood as well as lower the speed as vehicles are entering from the northeast part. Along 42nd Avenue, we've got three potential improvements. The first one is just increased signage. We have another reminder of drivers that this is a 25 mile an hour speed limit. We're recommending adding pavement or paint on the pavement going southbound as you enter the corridor up here, and then another set of pavement 25 an hour speed sign north of 124th for northbound traffic. We're also recommending here at the pedestrian bridge over the Duwamish an improved pedestrian crossing with curb bulbs and enhanced ADA ramps. This will do a few things. It'll calm traffic by narrowing the roadway and also improve pedestrian safety by having a shorter crossing distance and being exposed to traffic for less amount of time. Down here at the 42nd Avenue and 124th Street intersection, there's currently no sidewalk in the southeast corner, and recommend constructing this missing segment of sidewalk to complete the pedestrian network in this area. This will impact the parking of that convenience store. Moving along to South 124th Street, we have three improvements here. The one project that is farther along is the design of these two rectangle rapid flashing beacons and enhanced crosswalks to get north-south pedestrians across 124th Street. We've got one system at 44th Avenue and a second system at 46th Avenue. In addition to the on-demand flashing beacons, these improvements will also add curb on the north side of the street to better separate pedestrians from vehicles and also narrow the roadway, which will have a traffic calming benefit. Over here on the north side of 124th for the F project here, this would construct a missing segment of the pedestrian walkway from 49th Avenue to 51st Place. This could either be enhanced what's out there today behind the Jersey barriers, or this could be a more formal sidewalk. At the 124th Street and 50th Place intersection, one of the improvements that we really like for this neighborhood is to remove the eastbound right turn slip lane that is currently vehicles are not required to stop, and due to the shallow angle of the connection of these two streets, vehicles can take this movement at pretty high speed. We're recommending redesigning the intersection to remove this turn lane and have all vehicles at the intersection come to a stop. This would need to be refined a little bit to accommodate the truck movements as well. Moving down to 125th Street, there's a couple of potential improvements here. We'd want to coordinate with, these would both have quite a bit of impact to this street. We'll work with the neighborhood on this. But one option would be to add speed cushions to reduce traffic here. If traffic did divert to other streets, there's no street to the south due to the Duwamish River, and the street to the north is already a collector arterial and wouldn't have any issues there. Another possible measure we could look at is either a partial or full closure of 125th Street just west of 50th Place. This could either be a partial closure where left turns are restricted by placing C curb on 50th Place, or this could be a full closure of 50th Place. Moving on to 50th Place, we've got two possible improvements here. There's partial sidewalk on both the west and the east side of the street. We're recommending to provide better pedestrian safety mobility to constructing a continuous sidewalk, and it could be on either side of the street. There's pros and cons to whether one on one side or the other. Another recommended improvement, a potential improvement, is to add another radar speedback sign for northbound traffic that's entering the Allentown neighborhood. Several other cities in the region have been changing their citywide default speed limit for local streets from 25 miles an hour to 20 miles per hour. And this is something that could be appropriate for the Allentown neighborhood as well. A lot of these local streets in here, this area, are 20 miles per hour would be a very appropriate speed. So that is something that could be evaluated as part of a larger citywide effort to see if it makes sense to have a default speed limit of 20 miles per hour for the local streets. That concludes my presentation tonight. Appreciate the time, and please let me know if there's any questions.
All right. I'm sorry. Did you want to say more, Cindy?
Oh, I just wanted to kind of finish up with the financial impact. Michael, you'll need to stop sharing your screen. There we go. So when we developed the top 10 recommended list, we did some cost estimates on what these projects were going to cost. And these are definitely very high-level cost estimates that we were putting in. For example, we had put in between $50,000 and $80,000 for the Allentown neighborhood study. Now that we've got the study, which cost us, I think, around $35,000 for all of the data and the analysis that KPG has done,
They've come up with a larger list of potential construction projects, which when you add in the construction factor in for the engineering and permitting and so forth, is probably more like $640,000 for construction. Well, for their full recommendation, some of it we can do in-house, so it would probably be about a $600,000-$610,000 for construction, design and construction of all of these improvements. And going down to Project E, the TCC RRFBs that we're going to be putting in, we were pretty close in our estimates there. But the bottom line is that as we're getting further into learning what may be out there, it is just really showing that the need and the demands for traffic calming throughout the city is higher than what our current budget is. So we're now looking at an estimated cost of about $1.2 million, and we haven't even got into everything. So again, I mentioned the Complete Street grants that are coming forward, so we hope to be able to utilize those monies for some of our we'll see how far the money goes, but starting with the schools, and maybe we can start looking at the Ryan Hill pedestrian improvements that are nice, would be good out there. So we are recommending that the council consider this the update, as well as the downtown calming study, and consider this item in front of the whole council at next week's Committee of the Whole. We are going forward and meeting with the Allentown neighborhood tomorrow evening, where we will be present first time, and we can bring back some of the feedback that we get from them on next Monday at the COW. And then finally, we're asking for, if you want to give us any direction on the priority of this top 10 list and priority of the Allentown traffic calming needs.
So, thank you, Cindy. There were some places where Cindy was breaking up, so I do want to bring committee's attention to page 43 of your package, where all of the Allentown, the construction projects that are new are on this list, and the dollar figure there, $541,500, that's what Cindy was referring to as, these are preliminary construction costs, and if you add design and some other money to it, like construction management and maybe contingencies, it may be higher. And so that's, I just want to bring that to your attention, because Cindy's line was kind of breaking up a little bit. Thank you, Cindy, and thank you, Mike, KPG, everybody did a good job. Thank you.
So to be clear, on page 43, the total is $541,500.
Correct.
And it could creep up to 610, as Cindy talked about, when we finish with construction management and contingencies during construction.
Or higher.
Yes.
Concrete, just between the cost estimate to now, concrete costs have gone up. Steel is going up. So we're being very cautious, and what we're saying is the sidewalks, we think, are better done with the grant money, and so there has to be some prioritization, but it's the number is much higher than what we originally thought. It's in the upwards of $600,000-$700,000 that we could see right here.
Okay, and that we're not in approval state. All we're trying to do here is forward this on to the committee as a whole. But I do want to hear what council members' comments are in this case. We are on the fourth one, so I think I'm going to start with Councilmember Abdi. Yes, I am.
I just want to say thank you, Cindy and Michael, for the presentation. KPG did a great study on this. I really appreciate it. I have a few quick questions, so please bear with me. As I've gotten more familiar, with what's going on with Allentown, one of the biggest things, concerns that's been voiced a lot by the Allentown people has been about the speed safety, there's been a lot of speedings, a lot of noise, it's kind of like disrupted their quality of life. So, one of the things that they always brought up, from all the times I've been able to encounter with them is more speed bumps, So quick clarifying question. When you guys say speed cushion, are you guys talking about speed bumps? Just want to
There's
clarify
a
that
subtle difference between speed cushions and speed bump. Speed bump is more classically thought of as those really large bumps you see in parking lots, in any grocery store. Yeah, and a speed cushion is a longer and flatter version, so they still flow traffic, but they're not going to be quite as dramatic as a speed bump, because of course we certainly don't want to slow traffic down to a near stop like you would want in a parking lot.
Well, an example would be when we put it on 53rd across from Foster Park.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
exactly. Yes. And they tend to be about 10 feet wide. I'm not exactly sure the dimensions that we have out there, where a speed bump is going to be 12 inches wide. 12 to 24 inches wide. So it's a less sharp bump, but it still slows the traffic.
Thank you, Cindy, for that clarification, because, yeah, I'm new to the difference between a cushion and a bump. Yeah, so now at least
you
I'm
bet,
more familiar.
You bet.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for that. So, you know, Michael, thank you. You know, when you're doing your presentation earlier, on the specific streets and things like that, I had a couple quick questions on that. So the 42nd Avenue South, you mentioned that they have a marking for the 25 miles per hour. I was wondering, like, rather than being a marking, why can't we put a sign there saying that it's 25 miles per hour? Like, you know, I don't know if that's something you guys have thought about or, you know?
Yeah, there are existing signs posted both just south of, on 42nd, just south of 115th. There's a sign. The painting on the pavement is just one more reminder. You know, people are so busy today. We're just doing additional, you know, heads up, 25 miles an hour out here. So it's just more advertisement on that. There are posted signs out there already.
Thank you for that clarification. Yeah, because if there's between a marking and a sign, the sign I think is going to help people a lot more than a marking, you know, but I can see how marking is just extra additional attention, you know, and precautions. So that's good. And you also mentioned for the South 115th Street, is there a speed cushion that we could put there as well? I don't think I've seen on the presentation there was a cushion there.
Well, you're not recommending there at this time. We are recommending lowering the speed limit on that segment of 115th from 30 miles per hour to 25 miles per hour, but not a speed cushion at this time.
Not a speed cushion, okay. And then also, you guys talked about earlier, like adding more speed, like speed radar feedback. I'm curious to see, like, I'll be at the meeting tomorrow with, Allentown. I would assume that they would probably want a little bit more of that, because again, speed has just been a big issue for such a long time. So I guess my question is, how many speed radar feedbacks do we even have in that community? And if we're looking to adding a little bit more.
Right. I think we have two that are up there on 124th. And I do know we're an older version and we couldn't access the data. So we do have a radar feedback side on 124th for each direction. And we utilize them throughout the city and they've been quite effective. We're kind of back and forth on what we would do if we put in those RRSDs. Would we keep the radar feedback sides? Would they be relocated? We certainly can implement them in other locations. And the study is recommending that we install a radar feedback side on 51st Place. I think your study, Michael, was just specifically called out in the northbound direction. But we certainly can do them in both directions, because we do definitely, the data did show a lot of speeding on 51st. And hearing more, say, on 42nd Avenue, because I don't think we had identified them there, but they're quite easy to install.
Oh, sorry to interrupt there. There's two, both northbound and southbound speed radar feedback signs on 42nd Avenue. The northbound one's a little south of the pedestrian bridge, and the southbound one's pretty much right at the pedestrian bridge. So we have those set as well.
That's right. Yeah. And if we do put in curl burbs, we'll probably maybe reposition them a little bit. Thank you, Michael. I'd forgotten about those too.
Thank you. Thank you for Cindy and Michael here for that. So like you said that there was a suggestion made about adding one to the 51st one because there's a lot of speed in there as well.
Yeah. So this would be 50th. You know, we're more concerned with vehicles entering, you know, the neighborhood where they got, you know, residential housing on the downhill directions. So right now we're just recommending northbound, kind of right as you enter the neighborhood. Southbound, you're going up, you know, a steep incline where there's no really access points along there. There's no driveways. It's a pretty long stretch going up the hill. So we're less concerned about that direction of traffic.
Okay. Do we have a speed cushion on that area as well?
No, there's no speed cushion there.
Is that something that has been brought up or is something you guys are thinking about?
We've looked at speed cushions go ahead, Cindy.
I was going to say, Councilmember Abdi, if you want to, let me find a page in the report here. I really should get my glasses on. It would help. On page 37 of your packet, underneath the traffic calming header, we do talk about how at this time, this report is not recommending installation of speed cushions in the Allentown area on the streets that we've been primarily focusing, and that is on South 115th Street, 42nd Avenue South, 124th and 50th Place. We do recommend considering speed cushions on 125th Place or 125th Street, which is immediately south of 124th, because of people that are that divert off of 124th, because it's not like they aren't already going fast enough on 124th, they're then going down so they can even speed more on 125th. So that was one of the things that we would consider our speed speed cushions or a potential partial or full closure. Definitely need to work with the residents. We're not recommending speed cushions on these other streets, you know, one, because they are collector arterials, and that's where we want the vehicles to go. So if we were to put speed cushions on, say, 124th, then we would definitely see the high potential for people to divert either onto 125th to the south or up north on 122nd Avenue just to avoid those speed cushions. And so we're recommending that we do other types of treatments on these streets to help calm the traffic and control. There are so many other options in a traffic calming toolbox than just speed cushions. And unfortunately, everybody thinks of the speed cushion as the only thing that we have. And we have many, many others. So we did talk about why, and there's more reasons in the report for that. But I think probably the one that we're really concerned about is diverting traffic onto these alternate routes of 125th and 122nd to avoid going over the speed cushions.
Yes, thank you so much, Michael, Cindy, for that. Sorry if I've been redundant about the speed cushions. I just think that they're very effective, and I also like the speed radar, you know, as well. So I thank you so much for that. My last quick question, because I want to save time for everybody, is I love that you guys mentioned the local streets citywide, you know, thing that you guys are looking at reducing it to 20 miles per hour. So with that being said, that was what, when I was reading this, like the first thing that stuck out to my mind, I was like, you know, it would be nice if you can go from 25 to 20. So I guess where are we at with that process and, you know, what has to be done to make that happen, I guess?
Councilmember Abdi, if you look at the staff top 10 recommended NTCP project list, which is page 45 of your packet, we do have project age, which is that citywide residential speed limit review. And that was something that we had raised because we do know that surrounding jurisdictions, Seattle is a good example, and others have been making this step. And so we haven't yet started on this, but it is something that we would like to be having that citywide study, looking at what our peers are and just seeing what can be done. Should we target very specific neighborhoods? Should we do it the citywide? So we do hope to be getting it this year, but again, we're bringing this forward for some discussion and direction on if the council wants us to continue or if they would rather have us prioritize just focusing on one neighborhood versus a, you know, the geographic equity of going all over the city.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you, Cindy and Michael. Thank you.
Councilmember Sharp.
So you the staff determined the order. How did they determine the order as far as importance?
So
the order of which?
There's a top 10 list that was determined by staff according to the recommendation.
Cindy, let me give that if you don't mind,
sure.
Because it's kind of hard to hear you sometimes here in this room. So Councilmember Sharp, late last year when the staff gave the council and the transportation committee a quarterly update of the neighborhood traffic calming program. So staff do bring a quarterly update. And at that time, from 2020 March, the funding to neighborhood traffic calming program was stopped, and it was refurbished or started back in November of 2021. So at that time, staff brought a list of 10 or 15 projects, and what we thought was ranked in a way that we can address it with the resources we have. And we had a lengthy discussion with the committee, and then there was a discussion at the council to
so let's pause. The previous TIS committee reviewed it in November. Keep going. I just want to make sure it was
clear. Yeah. So that's how we came up with the list. Thank you.
And then how much grant money is being asked for? You mentioned earlier there's grant money. How much money?
This is the Complete Street Program through Transportation Improvement Board. And the amount that they are considering for us is going to be a minimum of $300,000 and a maximum of $500,000.
Okay.
We know we are getting it. We're just waiting on that final dollar amount.
Okay. Meant to be spent in 2022.
Sounds good. I'm going to be brief because I don't have a ton of time.
2022 or 2023.
Yeah, I think there's some obligation times, but I believe we have time to construct in 2023.
Okay.
So as far I'm not trying to be curt, be rude. I got questions, so I need them answered before we lose all our time. So the Allentown, the page 43, that's just to get all of your studies, this traffic calming study out the door. It's $610,000 to complete all the work that KPG has recommended for Allentown. Is that right?
That would be for the construction known for any design or permitting or construction management. So these are just planning level construction estimates.
Okay, and they're not included in this 808,000. So the top 10 list that you came up with to complete all of those projects is 808,000, give or take, because of the cost of material. Is that right?
So that $808,000 does include the recommendations from this list, including design and construction management permitting costs. And, of course, it's all estimates at this point until we know.
Of course. So if the city wanted to do these 10 projects plus Allentown, we would add the 610 to the 808. Is that right?
No, that is not. That 808 does include the monies for the Allentown projects.
Okay, so the 610 is 610 included in this 808 number. So 808 out the door completes the Allentown projected recommended KPG projects plus the other things that you have identified on the list.
Cindy, your memo has $1.2 million in it. That's the bottom line that's in the memo.
Right. So the updated cost estimates on that spreadsheet on pages 45 and 46 doesn't necessarily include all of the other estimates we had. I just included an updated cost estimate in that final column. So it would be that 808 plus whatever the dollar amounts are and the original estimate. Well, it wouldn't be all of that, but the $1.2 million is inclusive of these out of the KPG study, the RRFBs, as well as the other projects that we had identified. I don't have cost estimates updated for anything but the 144th 46th Avenue ADA ramps.
Yeah, Councilmember Sharp, under financial impact memo, in the memo on page 32, under financial impact, it says the anticipated cost to cover $1.2 million.
Okay.
That pretty much is the biggest the estimate of the overall cost we have right now.
To get all this stuff done.
So for Allentown.
Okay. And then, but it doesn't include, because some of this is not Allentown, like South Center Boulevard, 65 Avenue, all that stuff. I just want to know what the total cost out the door to do these projects plus the Allentown thing. So you can give me that number
and that's
later.
That's the 1.2. Yeah. That's the 1.2 million.
Okay. Perfect. So to get back to the actual study, South 125th Street needs speed signs. Are there speed signs there? Because residents have installed their own signs on in that location.
Speed limit signs?
So speed signs like go this speed down that road. There aren't
right.
any projects.
Okay. That we can definitely look into and put some signs up. If they aren't there, we can do that.
Okay. And then when you say raised sidewalk, is that just those curb pieces that are above the ground?
Yeah, raised sidewalks are
proper. That's the raised concrete sidewalk that you see, yeah.
Okay. And then for Jay, you say sidewalks on 50th Avenue South. Can sidewalks be put on both sides of the road, or is that, like, impossible to do?
We don't know. We'd have to get into it.
It depends on the right-of-way width we have.
Okay, because if
but they could be on both sides of the street. There's nothing to say that we could not put them in there.
Okay, and can a lighting be addressed on that particular stretch of highway?
Yes, lighting can get very expensive. If we're looking at undergrounding, it is probably going to double or triple the cost of any sidewalks.
Yeah.
But if it's not undergrounded, it can run at a lesser cost.
Of course, even if you put it on poles, I'm kind of aware
yes.
of the whole thing. How much are a set of speed cushions?
I think we have a set of speed cushions just to purchase are, I think, between $5,000 and $8,000. And then there is the installation cost to put them in. And these are these rubber ones that our crews actually put in. They nailed them into the existing asphalt pavement.
And how much does it cost to install a set of speed cushions?
I'm not sure.
If City of Tukwila installs
yeah.
them.
If our crew installs, it doesn't take a lot to install. We just will do it when our crew has some spare time.
It takes about a day of a crew of about six, I think.
The biggest cost for us is the material. So it's the actual cushion itself. And then you have to legally have a sign before approaching the speed sign and from both sides. And depending on the width of the street, you need to have be certain distance away from the mailboxes. So all of those are usually what takes the cost.
Sure. So you mentioned that 124, there was no talk about speed cushions being installed, but some of the residents complain about or bring up a valid concern about traffic going through there. And then your response was that they would take side streets. The other street that's in Allentown, that's kind of a speedway, South 122nd Street. So if you were to put speed cushions on South 124th and then add speed cushions to South 122nd Street, that would eliminate the possible lateral movement of this traffic you mentioned. So is that a possibility?
It could, yeah.
Yeah,
you know, there's a lot of sorry to interrupt there. You know, that could help. There's, depending on where they're going, if their destination, say they're coming from the southeast corner and they want to go exit at 115th, that would help putting them on 122nd as well. But there are several north-south routes that they could take before they cut over east-west. So it would require a fairly comprehensive network of speed cushions out there to cover the alternative routes that are the local streets north of 124th.
Okay, so it's possible. And then there's also the option of perhaps making certain trucks' compression brakes or of a certain weight not be allowed on those roads. So even if someone does a cut through, the city of Tukwila would have some recourse in enforcing a law that prevents them from being on that road. Is that possible or no?
That would be possible. We'd have to do a truck route ordinance to give us something that is enforceable. Right now, we don't have it. We have the no truck signs, but we don't have the enacting ordinance to be able to kick it and legally prevent trucks from driving through these smaller streets.
But it is possible. So if we really wanted to slow down
it is
traffic,
possible, yes.
Sure. Okay, perfect. Let's see. Oh, and then there's another road that's located on Ryan Hill that's unpaved. So I noticed that your list didn't have that, but to me, Beacon Avenue South on Ryan Road, that road is unpaved. So to me, that seems like something that we should address. I'm not saying you have to respond, but as far as adding stuff that seems like a priority, an unpaved road that actually connects residences would seem like somewhat of a priority. So no response needed. I'm just letting you know.
Okay. Thank you. The Neighborhood Traffic Calming Program, as it's set up, is a reactive program where we do actually rely on residents as well as elected officials as yourself bringing forward these concerns, and we do maintain a larger list. And so we have a list of probably at least 100 different locations, and the top 10 list was kind of a boiling down of all of those lists to get into these kind of top 10 biggest bang for the buck, and that geographic equity across the city. So I have a neighborhood on Beacon Avenue. It also doesn't serve a ton of residents. And as far as paving it, that would probably more be in a different project than traffic calming, because traffic calming program is intended to manage traffic in place. And an unpaved road theoretically is going to be a lower volume street. So that would probably be more something that we would look at with our overlay program. It's one of, I think, two or maybe three roads in the entire city that is not paved. And I just don't know if that's on our right now, but we certainly can add that into what we're considering for the future.
Perfect, Chair. Thank you.
All right. I got a few questions. I just want to note that Lisa Krober did send a response today. With great focus on not having the speed cushions on 124th. To summarize it, very disappointed and does not buy into most of the reasons provided in the report. So just want to put that out there. I appreciate the report or the study from KPG. I want to know how much, I know it's an engineering report, but did you do any look into the community and what their preferences were when you made your study, I guess, data collection and then ultimate conclusions?
No. At this point, we asked KPG to do this analysis and develop some potential solutions. Tomorrow evening is going to be our first opportunity to go out and meet with the residents in general. We do like to have an ability to really thoroughly study what's out there and maybe make some recommendations to have a starting point in our conversation with the residents. And so tomorrow, as I said, will be the first time that they are going to be seeing this and being able to discuss with us. We recognize that we don't have the full picture because we don't live there. So our next step is to see, you know, obviously we know that they are interested in speed cushions, but are there other areas that are a problem that we didn't see with some of our analysis? You know, we have to look at it from a data-driven analysis on what do we have as far as data. And the next step then is to get the non-data stuff, the things that are happening that we can't see without being a resident.
Okay. Next comment I have is the study going to be able to adapt then once you take in input from the community at this meeting?
Absolutely.
Is this considered a draft? And then what kind of, during the meeting, sensibilities can community have that an idea is going to be adopted or considered and something will be implemented? Because they only get one shot a month at this, right? And something tells me you're going to come back with a final study within a month. So they get one crack at it and they don't know what's going to get absorbed or implemented.
The way a typical traffic calming program is going to operate is that oftentimes, and especially with a neighborhood wide, like we see with Allentown, is that there should be multiple opportunities for staff, and in this case, staff and consultants to interact with the residents. And so tomorrow is going to be their first shot. Michael is going to be printing out a couple of large size maps. So we will actually have some things to physically interact with and talk to the residents where they can say, look, this is a problem here, and we'll be able to talk with them and get that good picture of what else can we do, recognizing that there are some things that we won't be able to do, recognizing that it could be a cost issue. It could be just something that is just engineering-wise not something we can do. But what we do hope to learn is what other things are issues that we can perhaps try to come up with a solution and solve. And from there, then we would go back and see what can we do. And then it should be an iterative process. Okay, we've heard this. This is what we think we can do. And so there should be this back and forth. It isn't going to be a one time and we finalized our report. We certainly can finalize this as a report and this is what we found, but what we want is what we have found and what else that we're hearing from the residents. We don't need to finalize this in a month. And if we need to go back in a month, we certainly will.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Sorry to cut you off there. I also just want to add that this is not going to be just, like you said, just done in one moment. This is likely, you know, both from efficiency and for funding, this is likely to be a phased approach. There's also a lot of this neighborhood, as well as the whole region's in a lot of transition right now with pandemics got lower traffic volumes. You know, the 42nd Avenue Bridge is closed. You know, the study for the BNSF rail yard, there's a lot of things that are going to be changing the transportation in this area. So it's definitely going to be an evolving project as the expectation.
Okay, and I gotta say I got a little briefing from David Klein before I went away and came back, so I kind of know where we are on things. I want to express great disappointment in not seeing speed cushions along 50th, especially because we have an intention to do a one-way bridge that's going to open on April 1. So I consider it open already. What are we doing to get ready for it? That will cause trucks to come down from Martin Luther King Way. We know they go too fast. We know a lot of them weigh too much. We know they're bottoming out when they hit the bottom enough that it's starting to destroy someone's house with cracks in it from vibrations. She's invited us to be in her living room, and I suggest one of the engineers take her up on it so they actually know what she's talking about. It's substantial. I have sat there long before any of all this traffic changes happened and watched the trucks come down, and I think it's great that you're going to put a digital something there and make a crosswalk flasher because there's a park there. But there's two things I don't understand. Because that's a street that is 25 miles an hour and probably will go down to 20 as fast as we can make it happen, I don't understand why speed cushions aren't optimal there. It sets the tone as they enter Allentown for getting the limit. I'm not worried about response vehicles because the fire departments, as you know, their axles are wide enough to go around these things. They're designed that way. I think the police department has figured out how to navigate them and not go at high chase speeds. And we found that a lot of those speeds aren't safe anyway. So my sensibilities along 50th especially is why wouldn't we have speed cushions there? And then I'm still kind of with the public opinion on 124th. That I may have misheard. Did you say that's a 30 mile an hour? Because for me, I thought that was 25 miles an hour.
It's 25 miles an hour.
Yeah. Why would we treat them any different than any other street? Why would we treat them any different and just let them get a wrap-up speed and go? Because we literally have pictures of residents following these trucks down 124th when it was two-way and watching them almost go past the little, I don't know what you call that, it looks like a little parking lot curb divider. And I've seen them straddle that when they've made mistakes and actually gone over it. Going too fast, not paying attention, maybe they're too tired. And this is where our kids, our dogs, our families, our people are in strollers, right? We know there's been some creatures already killed because of this stuff. So why not speed cushions there? I am less informed on who goes down 125th. I'm less informed. I'm very informed on 122nd. But that seems like there's a couple of things we could do there. I feel like $610,000 is a lot of money, but if it's not enough to take care of what really is hurting everybody, I'm very concerned about this plan, and I think you'll hear an earload tomorrow or the next day about it. I'm not saying you're bad for not covering it. I am saying you're not fixing the most pain. And I want the most pain handled first. And it just doesn't feel like we're quite reaching far enough. My last comment is, to be absolutely clear, the $610,000 includes the $50,000 to $80,000 that you had in the top 10, correct? There when you were describing it.
So the $50,000 to $80,000, that was our original estimate for when we had first brought this top 10, which would be some improved signage, putting up the radar feedback signs, and then maybe putting in some curb extensions. And so what it is that we've got out of the study is significantly more, and that's where that $610,000 for this new construction is including much more than we had originally identified when we developed this top 10 list.
So what I'm trying to divide here is that in the beginning you had this original, you know, this no study or an estimate of, is that an 8 or 5? This is very tiny.
Yes, it is. It's $50,000 to $80,000 is the cost range for eight.
What's that number? 45. It's your last total for all of these.
808. Underneath the updated cost estimate.
Yeah.
Okay. So that
call it 808.
Yeah.
Right, for everybody across town in this top 10 that they knew about in November.
I'm
not trying to trick you. I'm trying to clarify.
Sure.
So what's happening is of the 808, whatever, there's 50 to 80,000 for Allentown. And then you did a study and you say there's 610 to get Allentown covered based on the study you did. Is that inclusive of taking 80 and putting it into the 610? Does that make sense? That's
the updated cost estimate.
Yeah.
Sorry, I lost your audio there for a moment.
Let's find that out, Cindy, because we're kind of running out of time right now.
So, council members, I heard updated cost estimates. We got lots of cost estimates. Let's make sure we have real numbers. The original estimate that the council adopted was based on an equity lens across the top 10 neighborhood traffic calming was around $500,000.
Right.
So let's give you new estimates about what that $500,000, what's inclusive, what's not. I'm also concerned there's some planning numbers that aren't cost estimates you heard. So let's make sure we're coming back if this committee is ready. Is that COW and we can make those changes and updates
and
for next
in order
week.
Of the magnitude, I'm satisfied by what I'm hearing, Cindy. I just get a little lost on what, you know, it was over here and did that become part of the 610 question. And therefore it's really not 808, it's 80,000 less than 808 for the rest of it.
Right. We'll bring it to you.
Yeah. One last thing, council member, if I can bring up, you know, we're short on time.
I'll go fast.
New legislation came out hot off the press just last week. You know that the council has adopted speed cameras that used to be only allowed in school zones.
Mm-hmm.
The state law now has expanded that. That now allows it near parks and other facilities. So we did not know that when we did this study. There could be possibilities that the council may want to look into that if we want to implement that type of legislation.
Okay.
But we'd have to look into that.
Okay.
So,
we've basically got 5 minutes to get to
the top. Can I just have a really quick response? Councilmember, I really appreciate your comments. I just wanted to clarify a challenge that speech cushions can have. A lot of these trucks out there have the same wheelbase width as emergency vehicles. So sometimes having the speed cushions can be less effective for them and even potentially cause them to do a little bit of veering to try to line up just right for the speed cushions. Not that it couldn't be done, just pointing out a little bit of a clarification there.
I appreciate that, and that's something to consider. I just think after you get a pile of them coming down all at once, that suddenly they can't see it and veer and do all the things they want to do, and it might be worth our while. But let's let the engineers talk, let the neighborhood talk. I just think having nothing there is going to be like having nothing there, right? Okay, and they aren't going to pay any attention to it. Let's move on. We've got 5 minutes, council members, so I'm going to make an ask of the administrator here.
Yes.
I don't think I don't think we can do anything in 5 minutes.
Well, it's very simple, council members, is that we received feedback. It was planned for the committee of the whole, so you can have a full conversation with your whole committee next week.
Mm-hmm.
The staff has heard feedback. I talked about this the last time in transportation. We're going to be recommending 42nd. You asked us to go into the community. We have the community survey. About 75% agree with that 42nd alignment. And so I think we're all in alignment. You've got the community feedback that supports that 42nd alignment, and that's what you're going to hear at COW next week.
I actually was a little surprised because I missed one meeting but not this. And I thought that's what you said. We're going with option A. That's
yep.
where we're headed. We're having this meeting to talk about traffic calming. I actually thought we'd talk about not doing the survey, but you guys decided to go ahead with the survey?
No, council was very clear to do the survey, so we did. And
okay.
we actually got over 100 responses.
But you and I did have conversations.
Right.
We must have called other council members and maybe came up with council decided. Because you literally had a conversation with me, do we need to do the survey? And,
so
okay.
we did a survey. We got great community support in a very short period.
To be clear, there were communications that we might not do the survey, at least to me.
Right.
And I was given the impression you were talking with all council members.
So
did that happen as well?
I talked to a few council members, and I thought I had
okay.
continued the direction the council had given us. The
okay.
last public setting the council gave us was
I,
a community survey.
I'm not sure what the outcome of that would have been, but I
yeah.
got the impression we were going to save time and trouble.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we're having it because it looks like it's supporting what the Allentown people want anyway.
That's great.
That's good. So that's it on that. I think we can take it up if you council members are okay with the COW pretty well. Please, I urge you to work with Thomas and leave a lot of time for that.
That's fine.
Okay.
Thank I mean, you. I think that we've been very clear that the 42nd alignment is going to be replaced at the same place.
And it's here, we didn't consider it.
That's fine.
And I just want there to be time for conversation with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I know there's a lot of feedback off of the surveys, too.
Sure.
So, but you might hear about on 23rd.
That's fine.
Okay.
We'll see you tomorrow night.
Thanks
or
for next
actually, 22nd.
You did really well.
Yeah.
I do have one little miscellaneous before you dart out of here. The efforts through MLC and conversations with USDOT and the Federal Highway Administration were amazing. I don't know if Cindy's still around, but there's Safe Streets for All that includes communities that have been I'll just say the word you're right around. I'm going to get it totally wrong, and that'll be sad. Bear with me for a second because it's worth it. Areas of persistent poverty that are transit deserts that have no service, fast, frequent, reliable, no sidewalks. So there's more money coming. And I hope that we keep coming up with plans to be thorough, not only in this neighborhood, but others. Because I think it's $25 billion. Come on our way to spend in 5 years. It's an amazing amount.
That's
okay.
terrific because we do have definitely some poverty levels and transit deserts within the city. So we'll look forward. I think Brittany's here, and we'll definitely look forward for more information on that.
Thanks
Great
to all
news.
This meeting. Thanks to all. This meeting's adjourned. I appreciate everything.
Thank you.